The Christmas story is the story of Christ's birth as a baby, born during the night in a little village called Bethlehem of Judea, in a feeding trough for animals. The baby is a very necessary part of the whole story. Matthew and Luke record, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God had big plans for this baby, as told well in advance by the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This baby who was born to be a king would also be born to be the Savior of the world. Thus, there was a cross waiting for this baby who was born in a manger. And such is the essence of our text from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Apostle John seems in some ways to minimize the birth story of Jesus when he simply says in the first chapter of his Gospel, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the divine Son of God, who never had an origin, never came into being, was God. Yet for the purpose of making the glory of God visible to us, he became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh. That's the summary of Mary and Joseph being visited by an angel to tell them of the birth of Jesus, traveling to Bethlehem to fulfill the requirement of Caesar Augustus, being visited by shepherds in the fields who had seen a host of heavenly angels declaring that today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The Apostle John does not address the details of how Jesus became flesh like Matthew and Luke. However, he leaves no doubt that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came in flesh to live among us, to be the tabernacle and temple of God in our presence, so that we could see God's glory. That is the Christmas story according to John's Gospel. In addition to becoming flesh while still being fully God, Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus embodies God's grace. Jesus embodies God's truth. There was no lack of grace or truth in Jesus. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. Grace is, first of all, a gift. It's not anything that can be earned. It is a gift. But second, it is a gift that is given precisely to bring life where presently there is death, to give light where there is darkness, healing where there is sickness, forgiveness where there is guilt. Third, grace is a gift with a precise purpose that also has the power to fulfill its purpose. Jesus was full of grace as he came to be God in flesh and to dwell among us. But Jesus was not only full of grace, He was full of truth. Truth is light. It exposes reality. It brings out the hidden. It uncovers the secret. Deceivers are exposed. Liars are undone. Excuses are laid bare. That's what happens when Jesus steps into our world full of truth. At first, we run, thinking it's best to protect our lies, our excuses, and our deceptions. But as God's grace works in partnership with God's truth, and we welcome His exposure of the sin that is working destruction within us, we suddenly see how foolish we are to fight against the powerful X-ray of God's Word, the penetrating search of God's comparable magnetic resonance imaging that identifies the perpetrator that is working to stir up rebellion against our Maker. Jesus is the remarkable person who embodies fully both grace and truth. His diagnosis is thorough. His manner is gentle. He is the doctor of choice. His words are spirit and they are life. Jesus, who entered into our human experience, is the Word who is eternal life. He is not only the true diagnosis of our situation that is one of estrangement from our Maker, He is the only solution who attacks the destructive disease of sin and destroys its life-killing power. And in its place, He brings eternal life through His abiding presence within us. This is the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John puts that same story in yet another way in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Christmas story, according to John 3:16, can be summed up in four words. That was more. We'll shorten it. To God gave His Son. Tonight and or tomorrow morning, many of us will open presents from a family member or from a friend. Someone gave something to us. The gift will speak of the giver's thoughtfulness and the giver's love. And what a story God's gift tells about His thoughtfulness and His love. When a giver gives, there is a motive. In the case of God, His motive is love. For God so loved the world. Now that's very revealing of the giver's character. When we realize how offensive the world is toward God, the baby Jesus in the manger is God's gift to the world. But the world doesn't seem all that interested. Many even are so offended by God's gift that they try to pass laws so they won't ever have to see an image of God's gift or hear a word spoken about the gift. Yet still, God loves that world. His motive is love. When a giver gives, there is a purpose in the giving. In the case of God, His purpose is a rescue mission. He sees the world perishing. He sees the world dying, heading toward an eternity separated from His love and energizing life. Out of His motive of love, He offers a gift that will put a stop to the perishing and replace death with life. The purpose from the John 3:16 Christmas story is that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The purpose of God's gift in Jesus Christ is to replace our inevitable death with eternal life. That's a spectacular gift. It's a wonderful gift. When a giver gives, there is a substance in the giving. In the case of God, the substance is His Son, His one and only Son, His unique, one-of-a-kind Son. Jesus Christ is the only one who can qualify for the assignment God has given. He is the only one who has the credentials to fulfill the purpose for God's rescue mission. There is no one else who can adequately be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or do you have someone else in mind who might qualify for this mission? Without Jesus, we have no hope. But the good news on this Christmas Eve is that the baby who was God in flesh, born to live among us, Jesus Christ, is the substance who makes this gift from God effective for fulfilling the purpose and motive of the giver. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When a giver gives, there is a process or means in the giving. In the case of God, the process is for us to believe, to trust, to welcome, to receive. God's gift is a replacement of life for death. He takes our heart of stone and gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. In accepting the gift, we are turning in our old heart and receiving a new one. It's not the intention for us to live with both the old and the new heart, though some of us try. What we do borders a bit on sanity. Think about it. Why would we want to keep the old, failing heart when we have been given a brand new heart that will last forever? So when God gives us His gift, His Son Jesus Christ, in exchange for our old sinful life, so He can live in us and we can live in Him with His new life, that is eternal life. The means of that exchange is what God or John calls believe, trust, welcome, receive. Place your full confidence in God's gift, and you will experience new and eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, when a giver gives, there is a result or consequence in the giving. We all know that there are some gifts that we are given, maybe even last year, I suspect, that didn't get much of any use during the year. We may have even left one of them in its original box and rewrapped it for a gift to someone else this year. Some gifts just don't get used as the giver intended. In the case of God, His gift can be refused, or it can be received. The result of receiving His gift is eternal life. The consequence of refusing His gift is to remain in our perishing condition and end in eternal death. This Christmas, let us be reminded of the great gift from God in His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life to all who will believe, who will welcome, who will trust and receive Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the babe born in Bethlehem. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.